Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Chav Ches in Menachos. Okay, we have a little bit to finish up from yesterday's daf. Okay, maybe a little bit more than that. And we get to today's daf, and here we go. Over the course of the next couple of weeks, over Yontif, so the Gemara is now going to go on a wonderful tangent where we're going to be discussing various things that are Ma'akev Zezeh, things that are absolutely necessary, which will lead the Gemara to discuss Kometz Rabbah, the third parak of Menachos, and it will continue into the fourth parak as well. Tefillin, Mezuzah, writing Sifrei Torah, and Tzitzis, fourth parak. We talk about Tzitzis, so it's a wonderful tangent, and we're going to really enjoy the next number of weeks of Gemara, where the Gemara discusses all these things. But we still have a little bit to finish up from yesterday's daf, and we are on Chafafa Madalaf, we're towards the bottom of the page. Tashma. No, I'm sorry. Right. Okay, fine. I'm sorry. No, where am I? Here we go. I'm sorry. I'm back. There you go. Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, sorry. Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, and three lines from the bottom. Sheva Azor Sheba Par Ma'akvat Zuvud Zuv. Okay, so you have to sprinkle the Par Aduma, right? The Par Aduma, you shecht non the Beit HaMikdash, right? It's not a carbon in the more classic sense, but you shecht it outside of the Beit HaMikdash, but you have to be facing the Beit HaMikdash, and you're going to be looking in the west direction. And the Torah says that when you sprinkle the, after you shecht it, you take the blood and you sprinkle the blood seven times into the direction of the Beit HaMikdash. The Mishnah Torah, seven is an essential number. Six is not good, right? Six is nothing. Six is zero. So it has to be seven. So the Gemara says, first of all, how do I know that chukah? So the Gemara says, okay, so Torah says the word chok. It has to be done this way. Seven sprinklings on the between the Bein Abadim, that's Yom Kippur, where you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Sprinkles between the poles. On the Mizbeach HaZahav, opposite the Parochis, Makvah Zuazu, Yom Kippurim, Ksiv Chuka. Okay, and there on Yom Kippur, same story. The Torah says the word Chok. Those sprinklings are essential. And finally, Par Kohen Mashiach, Par Helam Davish Al Sibur, Siri Avos Kochavim. There are Chatas Apnimios, the carbon chatases that are sprinkled inside the Heichal, inside the sanctuary. So those sprinklings are essential. All seven of them are essential. Kedetanya, Vasala Par Kasher, Sala Par. You do for the bull what you did for the bull. This is Perek Dalet of Vayikra, where the Torah goes over the Par Kohen Gadol and the Par Helam Davar. And there the Torah says you'll do it to the bull like you did to the bull. And we already learned that those words are superfluous, and it comes to teach me, Ikov, it comes to tell me that they're essential. Ma tamalamar lichpo bahazos. Why does the Torah do that? The Torah does that to be kofel in order to repeat itself. That if you were missing any one of the matanos, you have done simply nothing. Period. Okay. Tanu rabbanan sheva zos shebepara sha'asam bein shalol l'shman bein shalom mechuvanot psulot. Okay. Seven sprinklings of the Par Aduma. So as we just described, you have to sprinkle seven times. And we already discussed how seven is an essential number. It's got to be seven. Good. Sheva Sar Sheba Par Sha'asam Bein Shalom L'Shman Bein Shalom Mechuvanot. It's psulos. The Braisa starts off by telling me that if I don't have a L'Shma in mind, if I don't have Kavana, or if I'm eno mechuvan, now this doesn't mean kavana because we already discussed that. This means you got to go into the right direction. Got to sprinkle in the direction of the heichal. So of the Beis HaMikdash, I should say. You're outside the Beis HaMikdash. So if you miss either one of those, it's psulos. Okay, shebifnim u'shebemitzora. Now the sprinkling that's done inside, meaning chatas apnimi or yom hakipurim. Or Shebe Mitzorah, or the sprinkling that's done by the Mitzorah. There's a little bit of sprinkling that's done by the Mitzorah, by the oil of the Mitzorah. Shalol Lishman Psulo, Shalom Mechuvanos Ksheros. If it's Shalol Lishman, it's going to be Pasul. If it's Eino Mechuvan, but if you don't hit the right direction, that's okay. Braisa number one has just taught us that when it comes to the Par Aduma, you're standing outside the Beis HaMikdash, you got to sprinkle in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Braisa just taught us that that's a deal breaker. You got to sprinkle in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'hatanya. Braisa number two. Amgabi parashalol l'shman p'silah shalom mechuvanas k'sheros. Okay? Basic contradiction between braisa number one and braisa number two. In braisa number two, you're sprinkling the blood of the paraduma, you're sprinkling it seven times, you don't sprinkle it into the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. Braisa number two says it's okay, it's kosher. You missed out on the mitzvah of sprinkling in the right direction, but it is okay. And so now what we will do for the remainder of this Amud, okay, it's long, but it's pretty focused, is that we're going to try to seek what the pshat is how do we resolve the contradiction between the two braisas. And the Gemara starts off like this. Amar Rav Chista lo kasha. Okay, so answer number one belongs to Rav Chista, and it's going to take some time to get through answer number one. Ha Rabbi Yehuda ha Rabbanan. Okay, the way we're going to resolve it is simply by pointing out that it's a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Now, what is a machlokus? Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan are not talking about sprinkling the blood of the Parah Aduma. What we're going to do is we're going to take a machlokus they have elsewhere on another halachic issue, and we're going to point out what the Nekudah Machlokus is, what they're arguing about, and then we're going to take that and translate it back to us in our discussion of sprinkling the blood of the Parah Aduma into the direction of the Beis HaMikdash, and it will fit. Okay? So let's do this. Tanur Rabba, I'm sorry, Detanya, we'll learn the following Braisa. Mechusrei Kapara. If you are Mechusar Kapara, you meaning you went through a serious tumah term, right? You were a zav, you were a major zav, a gadola. You're a mitzora, you're a yoledes. And so, what do you need to do? You need to count your seven requisite days. You need to tovel the mikvah on the seventh day. That night you experience hair of shemesh. You're almost there. On the eighth day, you got to bring karbanos. Okay? Until you bring your karbanos, you're called mechusar kapara. For most intent and purpose, you're tahor. You can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash yet. You're not ready yet. You're called mechusar kapara. Shenich nesu la'azar b'shogeg chayev chatos b'mezid enosh kares. To the point in which, if you're mechusar kapara and you walk into the temple courtyard, you're chayev kares. Okay, that's that serious. Meaning that you, whatever little residual tumah you have, that's enough to get you, to hit you with a kares punishment if you walk into the azara intentionally, and if you do so unintentionally, so you're chayav karban chatas. Vein tzarach lamar tful yom ashar kol atameim. Now, if a mechusar kapara is going to get kares, you can only imagine. You don't even have to imagine. It's a simple kavachomer. It's simple deduction that if you're tful yom, which is more tameh, tful yom, you haven't even experienced Harav Shemesh yet. So if you walk into the Zara with a Tvul Yom, or let's even go even one step further, let's say you're just Tamei, plain and simple, so for sure you're going to receive Karis as well. Now, next part of this Bryce over here, we're no longer going to talk about the Tamei person. That's easy. If you're Tamei, and even residual Tuma, meaning Tvul Yom Mechusar Kippurim, and you walk into the Azara, end of that discussion, kares, or if you do so, b'shogi karmen chatas. The next part of this braisa is going to be dealing with someone who's tahor. Okay. Now, wait, just give me a second. Somebody who's tahor. Somebody who's tahor can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash. Temple courtyard, right, that it's okay, but cannot walk into the Beis HaMikdash, into the actual building itself. So, if you walk into the Heichal, so that means Heichal is the structure, the building itself. We're not talking about the courtyard. Courtyard is a big pink block over there. We're talking about into the actual courtyard. Now, is the Ulam, that big fat antechamber right beforehand, is that considered part of the Heichal? That's subject to a debate. I don't know what the Bryce's position is over here. All right, but if you walk into the Heichal, we're talking about someone who's Tahor, right? The issue is not Tumah over here. The issue is that you just don't belong in the Heichal. We'll cite the Pesukim in just a moment. So you're going to be Chayv.
Who do you mean someone?
Huh? Could be anybody. Anybody. Kohen. So Kohen also. Kula ba'arbami base la parochis al paneka pares b'misa. Now, what if you walk into Kodesh HaKadoshim? Right, and you're not the Kohen Gadol, and it's not Yom Kippur. So, b'misa, that's misa b'dei shamayim. Now, this is not kares, it's pretty close, Right, Tosos in the beginning of Yevamos, first page of Yevamos, Tosos over there discusses subtle differences between Karis versus Misa B'dei Shamayim. Okay, but Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol Heich. Okay, so that's the opinion of the Tanakama. So again, the discussion for the next little bit is going to be, what is the punishment for somebody who walks into the Heichal, somebody who's Tahor? So we are talking now walking into the Heichal, we're talking walking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. According to the Tanakama, walking into the Heichal, it's a lav, negative prohibition, 40 lashes. Of course, that means 39. Walking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Misa B'dei Shamayim. Rabbi Yehuda is going to disagree a little bit. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Kol Heichal Kulam in Beis LaParoches Bar Ba'im. Right, if you walk anywhere in the temple, into the temple itself, into the Heichal, even Mi Beis LaParoches, even if you walk after the curtain, meaning you're found in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so you're going to receive 40 lashes. The El Pnei HaKapares B'misa. If you walk to the direction of the Aron, to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is not enough. You have to walk to the direction of the Aron. Now, there's not a lot of room over there in that Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? It's 20 amas by 20 amas. So 40 by 40 feet. Okay, nice size room, but to be in that room by itself is not enough. You have to walk into the direction of the Aron.
And the Aron is not Tefes Makom.
And the Aron is Aron's in the center.
Yeah, but it's not
Tefes Makom. No. Correct. So that is the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. And now what the Gemara will do will dissect what is the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. And relate it back to us. Okay, not this week's parsha. We get a little bit of a break in terms of parshios because it's Ibrior, because we had another month. So we break up Tazria, we break up Mitzara, we break up Achrei Mos and Kedoshim. And okay, it's good. It's good. It's shorter parshios. So next week we read parshios Achrei Mos, and it starts off like this. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe acharei Moshe shnei b'nei Aaron b'karva samlef ne'Hashem v'yamusu. Okay? So this is talking about the Avod of Yom Kippur. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe dabel Aaron achicha. So he says to Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, why don't you speak to your brother? Al yavo b'chol eis el HaKodesh. Don't go into the Kodesh anytime you want. Mi beis laparoches. Right? Inside the curtain, meaning beyond just the Heichal. El Penea Kapores, to the Kapores. Kapores is a covering of the Aron. Asher al Aron, right? It's pretty clear from the Pesukim. Velo Yamus. And I don't want you to die. Meaning, if you do so, you'll die. Death over here means Misa B'dei Shamayim. Now, this is not corporal punishment. Ki Be'enan Eira El HaKapores. Right? And you'll see the cloud. And only with the cloud can you go in. Now, cloud over here is, of course, referring to the cloud that's created by the burning of the Ketores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. Okay, let me read that pasuk again, because that pasuk is going to be extraordinarily important in terms of understanding the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. It's pasuk beis, second pasuk of next week's parsha. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe dabel Aaron achicha al yavo. Now, that al yavo, you know what that means. That's a lav, that's a negative prohibition. Don't go in. So we start, the pasuk starts off with a lav, with a negative prohibition. Ayav avacholeit ala kodesh, don't go in ala kodesh into the heichal. So already we know that if you go into the heichal uninvited, so that's malchus, that's a lav, that's a negative prohibition. Then the Torah says, mibes laparoches, don't go beyond the curtain. El penea kaparos, don't go to the aron. Asher al aron v'lo yamus. Because if you do, that's misa b'dei shamayim. Okay. So you see how the pasuk goes? Going into the Heichal is a lav. Going further interior to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the Aron, that's Misa B'dei Shamayim. Okay, so the further you go in, the bigger trouble you're going to get. Okay, good. Now, before we go back to the Gemara. Right.
Huh? That's about Cohen. What happens
if he's not a Cohen?
Yeah.
I imagine the punishment's the same.
The same?
I imagine.
A child that wanders in there.
I wouldn't know.
What?
Should be worse? Or you can't. Ain't on Shimon Adin, meaning. Right. Okay. Now, the critical point over here in terms of what we're going to be discussing is that the Torah is just a little bit verbose.
If you're a lady.
Because the Torah says, don't go into the Heichal, right? Al Yavo Bechol Eisal HaKodesh. Don't go into the Heichal. And then the Torah goes, Mi Beis LaParoches, don't go beyond the curtain. El Penei HaKaporos, don't go to the Aron. Okay, what's, meaning, after the Heichal, what's my next level? What's the next level up from that? So the Torah could have just simply have said, don't go beyond the curtain.
Right.
Or the Torah could have said, don't go to the Aron. The Torah says both. Don't go past the curtain, Mi Beis LaParoches, El Penei HaKaporos, and don't go to the Aron. Why is the Torah spelling out both of those? That's going to be subject to the debate between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. Let's see this inside. B'mai kamiflagi. What is the machlokis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda? So B'hai Kra. B'yamar Hashem Moshe Dabel Aaron Achicha V'al Yavo B'chol Eis Al HaKorosh Mi Beis HaParochus HaPnei HaKaporos HaShel Aaron V'lo Yavo. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in its entirety. Rabbanan Savrei El HaKodesh V'lo Yavo. So here's how the Chachamim break it up. The El HaKodesh, don't walk into the Heichal, that's a lav, that's lo yavo. Okay, now, next, Mi Beis LaParochus V'al Pnei HaKaporos V'lo Yamos. And once you go beyond the kapor, once you go beyond the curtain, now you're up to the point of the Misa B'Dei Shemayim. Okay, that's the Chachamim. V'Rabbi Yehuda Savar, El HaKodesh Mi Beis LaParochus V'lo Yavo. No, they put the comma after the Beis LaParochus, meaning that if you go either into the Heichal or Mi Beis LaParochus, beyond the curtain, that's Lo Yavo, that's the Lav. And then El Penei HaKapores, only when you walk towards the Aron. So you have to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and walk to the Aron, that's below Yamos, that's when you get Misa. Now, just pause for a moment. The Gemara is not going to make this point. I don't know if it's good. So, just for consideration,
three steps.
Right. We look at Trup very often to help us define how to break up the pasuk. If you want to know, Stuart already knows this, but if you want to know where's the asnachta, where's the comma in terms of Trup? So it's El HaKodesh Mi Beis LaParoches. The asnachta, which is your comma in Chumash, it goes on the words Paroches. It sounds like, just from the simple trup, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is correct. Okay? I don't think we're going to agree in terms of halacha, but certainly in terms of trup, there is support for Rabbi Yehuda. The asnachta goes on the paroches. Okay? Just for consideration. Now, back to the Gemara. My time, where did I just go? But my kamitzligi, we did all that. Okay. My time at the Rabbanan, thank you. What's the reason for the Rabbanan? If Rabbi Yehuda were correct, that in order to receive the Misa punishment, you have to actually walk towards the Aron, according to Rabbi Yehuda, walking beyond the curtain is not significant. So why does the Torah write it? Yeah, that's a good question. Meaning, and we would have just simply said, look, if there's a law for walking into the Heichal, you don't think there's going to be a law for walking beyond the curtain? Of course there is. So, Mi Beis HaParoches, Tekas Rechman Alamali, Shema Mina B'Misa. So the fact that the Torah talks about walking past the curtain, you see that walking past the curtain now, right, kicks up the Isser. Meaning, takes it from a law and brings it up to Misa B'Dei Shemayim. That is a support of the Chachamim. Okay, next, let's go back to Rabbi Yehuda.
Why don't you ask the same question about Bonan? What did he
do? Yeah, good. Gemara's going to do that.
Oh, okay.
No, don't apologize. Gemara's going to do exactly that. Rabbi Yehuda, Ikaz Rechman Allah Kodesh V'lo Kasam Mi Beis HaParoches. So first we're going to defend Rabbi Yehuda. Look, you got to put in the Beis HaParoches. Why? Because Hav Amina, my Kodesh Mi Beis HaParoches. I might have thought that the area of Kodesh only is talking about Mi Beis HaParoches. Meaning that the Torah never says where in the Heichal. The Torah says Al Yavo Al HaKodesh. I might have thought, this is Rabbi Yehuda's defense, that Kodesh means only beyond the curtain. Aval Heichal Lav Nami Lo. I might have thought that if I just walk into the Heichal, it's not even a Lav. It's not even a negative prohibition. Okay. V'Rabbanan Ha'ulam Matzisar. And the Chachamim say, I would never entertain that even as a Havamina. The Hechel Kula Ikrei Kodesh, we know the Hechel in its entirety is referred to as Kodesh. Shenama, the Pasuk says, V'hiv Dila, HaParoches Lachem Beina Kodesh Ubein Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's really the simple pshat that the Hechel in its entirety is referred to as Kodesh. We would never have had that Havamina. Okay, so what we have so far done is supported the Chachamim. Now the Gemara is going to support Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, my time, Ma'isa Kadachi Kadama Rabbanan. If you think the Chachamim are right, that the curtain, once you pass the curtain, that's it. Misa Bidei Shamayim, Lichtov Rachmana, El HaKodesh Umi Beis LaParoches. That's right here. Phil, here's your point. So all you need to do is Beis LaParoches. Just go be a. The Torah just simply say, once you walk past the curtain, that's it. Done. But Lobayo Penei HaKaparosos, El Penei HaKaparosos is totally unnecessary. The Anamina, and I would have said very simply, Mi Beis LaParoches, Be Misa, Penei HaKaparos, Mi Baye. El Penei HaKaparos, Tekas Rachman Olamali, Shema Mina, El Penei HaKaparos, Be Misa, Mi Beis LaParoches, Be Azhara. The fact that the Torah goes out of its way to say El Penea Kapares means you're only going to get Misa if you walk to the Aron. Now, the Rabbanan Hachanami Delo Tzarech. Now, the Chachamim have to concede, because that's a really good point. Why does the Torah need to say El Penea Kapares? That's a very good point. Now in the Gemara we have the word mishupash. Rashi says it's just like the word mishubash, right? Shibush. Shibush means confused, wandering, like all over the place. So derech mishupash,
crooked,
right? So meaning, let's say you don't walk in the normal direction. Now there's really no other way to get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You can go in through the ceiling. You know, maybe there's some secret
tunnels.
Maybe there's some secret tunnels. Anyway, so I needed just to tell me.
Maybe
a back door, maybe. So I don't know about a back door, but just because I don't know about it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So, Lamute Derech Meshupash, that if you go in some other bizarre way, so you also write Lamute, that comes to exclude. Okay? Kidatan Zebe Rabbalaz Ben Yaakov, Alpenea Kaparos, Kedma, Zebanaav, Komakum Shinemar, Penei, Eno Ela Penei Kadim. When we say Penei, we're referring to the east. The Rabbi Yehud, I'm sorry. Okay? So that is the Chachamim. The Chachamim says Penea Kaparos. You have to go in the normal direction from the east. Okay. The Rabbi Yehuda, we're almost done. I told you this was going to be long. Rabbi Yehuda, Lemakra Penei, my El. Shmamina el davka. Now Rabbi Yehuda basically agrees to the same point, but he gets it from the word el. It says el penei. When it says el is davka. Has to be two. Okay? And two is not just it's not loose terminology. It means davka. You have to go in the normal direction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the eastern direction. Now, what do we get out from all this? It's unbelievable. Gemara's thread of logic is just fantastic. What we get out from all this, and the Gemara spells it out, V'rabanan el lav davka, that there is a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim when the Torah says el penei, and it says the words el. Is that to be taken literally or not so literally? Rabbi Yehuda takes it literally, and the Chachamim do not take it literally. Now, we can go all the way back to the beginning of the top of the Amud, where there are two brisas. One brisa says that if you take the blood of the Paraduma and you sprinkle the blood of the Paraduma into the direction of the Beis HaMikdash, good, and if you don't, that's no good. Who is that? That's Rav Yehuda. And the second brisa that says, no, it doesn't have to literally be in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash, that's the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda damar el penei kaparos davka v'hiza el nochach nami davka v'rabbanu midasam lav davka hachinami lav davka. And the Gemara sets it up exactly like that. That's the machlokus. Maskif la Rav Yosef la Rav Yehuda mida el davka. The gears over here is a little al nami davka el al. In other words, preposition. Their preposition to and on are both davka. So ela de mikdash sheni de lo havu aron vekaparas hachaname de lo avad hazos. Now we know that in the second temple there was no aron. Already by the end of the first temple there was no aron. Right? Melch Yoshiyahu took the aron and put it in Geniza. He knew that the first temple was not going to last. So he took the Aron and put it in Geniza. And so for the second base of Mikdash, there was no Aron. And on Yom Kippur, the Torah's mitzvah is to sprinkle it, Al, on the Aron. Well, if Al is to be taken literal, so what does that mean? You didn't sprinkle on Yom Kippur during the Second Temple? 420 years of not sprinkling. That's a lot of... So, and the Gemara says it's just not a tenable position. So, Sheni de lo ava Aron kapor sachanam de lo ava razos amarava barul amakra v'chiper es mikdash hakodesh. No. The Torah does not... The Torah says mikdash hakodesh. Location is more important than the Aron. It's the makom that you need. Makom hamakudesh lakodesh. That is significant. In the Second Temple, you may not have had the Aron, but you had the makom. Okay, Rava, okay, good. So, that all took us through answer number one. Brisa number one says that when you're sprinkling the blood of the Paraduma, yeah, direction. The first Brisa says direction is significant, essential. Second Brisa says direction is not essential. Gemara's answer is, Rav Yehuda versus the Chachamim, do I take the word El literally, or do I take the word El not literally? Good. Answer number two. Rava Amar Hava HaRabanan Hadikai Mizrach Umara V'Ade Hadikai Tzafon V'Daran V'Ade. Now, let's say it like this. Both are holding like the Chachamim. It depends which direction you, the sprinkler, are standing. If you're facing the Beis HaMikdash, that's good. If, meaning, if you're facing with your back to the east, you're facing the west, you're looking at the Beis HaMikdash, so then the direction of the sprinkling is not so significant. If, however, you're facing in a north-south alignment, so you're not facing, even if you sprinkle in the right direction, that's no good.
You could be facing west, but you could be splashing to the north, and it's fine.
Correct. So Amamar. Okay, good. So that's answers number one and two. Answer number one took entire Amud. Answer number two took all of two lines. Not even. No, yeah, two lines of Gemara. Amamar. Ushebipnim, ushebimitzorah, shalol shmam psulo, shalom mechavnos ksheira. Okay, by the mitzorah, so the sprinkling of the oil, so the oil was after applied to the mitzorah, the oil then got sprinkled seven times. So according to Braisa number one, it's shalom mechavnos ksheira. So shalol shman psula. If you have a shalol shman while you're doing it, it's puzzle. The Hatanya we learned in Brisa number two, Bein Shalol Shema, Bein Shalom Mechuvano Ksheira. And Brisa number two, even if it's Shalol Shema, this is the Mitzorah now, sprinkling of the oil of the Mitzorah, Shalol Shema's Kasher. So again, same problem. Steer it between two Brisas. If I sprinkle the oil of the Mitzorah, and while sprinkling I have a Shalol Shema, a Kavana of, not for the sake of the Mitzorah, something else, I don't know what else, but something else, it is, Brisa number one says it's pasul. Brisa number two says it's kasha. I'm Rav Yosef lo kasha ha Rabbi Eliezer ha Rabbanan. And the Gemara says this is again a machlokus between tonight. Rabbi Eliezer de makish ashel machata makish nami log la asha. So Rabbi Eliezer going all the way back to the first day of Zvachim, where we learned that according to Rabbi Eliezer, asham equals chatas. So just like by a carbon chatas, shelo lishmo is pasul. So too by an asham, shelo lishmo is pasul. So too by the log, which is in the same pasuk as the carbon asham, the log shemen, shelo lishmo is pasul. V'rabanan lamakshe, and the chachamim simply say no connection. Chatas and asham not the same.
So the log is considered part of like the
So this takes us to the next Gemara, to the Gemara's next question. Ula Rabbi Eliezer, v'chi davar halamed behekesh, chozer umalamed behekesh. Right in the middle of Zvachim, right, dafnun, memtes, right in that area. Right in the middle of Zvachim. Remember we had a day in which we talked about the 16 permutations, right, of Hekesh to Hekesh, and, right? That was a fun day. Hekesh to Kavachomer. So 16 permutations, 4x4. And one of the things you can't do is Hekesh Hekesh. Meaning, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Chatas equals Asham. That's Hekesh number one. And then Hekesh number two, Asham is connected to the Log Shemen. But you can't do that. You can't go Hekesh Hekesh. Elam Arava, Havaharabanan. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to give up on the Rav Yosef answer. We're going to give a different answer. Kan lahachshir, kan lahartzas. Oh, if you're going to ask me the question, right, the carbon acceptable, yeah, carbon's acceptable. It's not a chatas, it's an asham. Carbon's acceptable. Did the mitzvah get his kapara? Nope. Because once the log shemen is done, shalol l'shma, remember, what's the lo l'shma rule? Aside from chatas, the shalol l'shma rule is, the carbon's good, it just doesn't get credit to the owner. So if you sprinkle the log shemen shalol l'shma, carbon's still good, but the owner doesn't get a kapara. Okay, that's all it means. So in other words, the brisa number one is talking about the actual carbon, brisa number two is talking about, other way around, brisa number one is talking about the mitzora, brisa number two is talking about the actual carbon itself. Good. Okay, that takes us through the end of yesterday's daf up to our Mishnah. Okay, we're ready for menorah? Yeah, we are. In the art school, if you have an art school Gemara, I took a peek, they have a fantastic picture. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have one, I have here. I made some copies. I came. He has also over there. I know, but these pictures are great. They're really here. Pass this back. Anyone does not have here. No, not that one. That was a failed attempt. Okay. Really is helpful, by the way. Just. Okay, ready for menorah talk? Here we go. Shiva kanim menorah. Ma'akvin says that. So you need kanim. Kanim are the stems. Okay? So as Rashi points out, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Oh, this picture is so good. So, by the way, you'll notice that the author of this picture did not have them loop, yeah, but it has them rather straight. Okay, so this is. It's a machlokus rishonim, whether it's straight or whether it's curved, okay?
Same curve.
Huh?
Same curve.
No. The tightest picture has it curved. I think the Rambam has it straight. I have to get it straight. Rambam is straight.
Chabad follows Rambam. They're very
right. Right. Okay. I think the Rambam has it straight. One of the many issues. Can we bring up a little controversy right now?
Why not?
Okay, why not? We're on tape, so it's okay. So, and I'm not prepared to stop it. You know, they're building the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. You're familiar with the work,
yeah.
Huh? Temple Institute, Machon HaMikdash. Right. So, one of the issues. There are a number of issues with building the Beis HaMikdash. So, one of the issues is that they built the menorah, and you know they built the curved.
Right.
So I had the opportunity. I went there, and in terms of education, they do wonderful work. But I asked them a simple question: What if it's not curved? What if it's supposed to be straight? So the answer they gave me. I don't know if this person I spoke to speaks on behalf of all of them. Is that we plan on building a second menorah?
Why'd they do that?
Okay, my anyway, as you could probably tell, it doesn't excite me that much. That, you know, solution. Why don't we just wait for Mashiach and he'll tell us how to build it? In addition to a number of other issues, you have, yes.
They have a little more to do.
Yeah.
The Rashi printed menorah on Sadek Pesach Beis matches the quote unquote Rambam.
Right. I did look at both of them, by the way. I was tempted to copy the picture of the Rambam, the Perash HaMishnayos. Okay, in the Gemara, you see, Rashi over here writes, what Stuart's pointing out is that Rashi over here writes, the first Rashi in the Mishnah, right? Kedichsiv shisha kanim yotzim mitzideha v'amenorah atzma shebe'emtze hi hashvit kazeh. And Rashi says it's just like this. So now what you expect at that point in Rashi is to see a picture. Because he says kazeh, it looks just like this. But there is no picture. On the side of the Gemara he says, if you want to see the picture, so turn to page Tzadiches. So in the Gemara, it's not in yours, but in the Gemara, in Daf Tzadiches, Amud Beis, so there's a beautiful picture of the menorah, and it's curved. But that doesn't mean anything, because it's not even Rashi. The publisher of the Gemara knew that there was supposed to be a picture inserted here. So the publisher of the Gemara then found a picture of the menorah, and he put it in, and it's not necessarily conformed to that which Rashi believes is the picture, or the Rambam. Right? In the Perush HaMishnayos, also in the back of the Rambam, so also they threw a picture in there, and again, that doesn't mean anything. It just simply means that the publisher of the Gemara put in a picture.
There was some time that were present at the time of the Second Mishnah, right?
Look, we already talked about a machlokus of where the proper placement of the Mizbeach is. Correct. Certain things it's hard to understand. Hard for me to understand. Maybe other people have an easier time with this. Understanding how certain machlokus come to be. How can we have a machlokus where the Mizbeach is? And and there are three opinions on the matter. Mm-hmm. It's not even just one. No, just two. Okay. So, Shiva Kane Menorah Ma'akvin says that, so you need seven. You need seven stems. The menorah has to have seven. Seven's essential. Six is not good. Six is nothing. Six equals zero. Again, our math of the day. Six is zero. So, Shiva Kane Menorah Ma'akvin says that, Shiva Neros Ma'akvin says that, the seven Neros are Ma'akvin says that. Now, something you just have to get familiar with, we did this in the second parak of Shabbos. The word Ner, right, we translate it loosely as candle or even as fire. Right? Neither translation is correct. The word ner is the cup. The cup that holds the oil. That's the ner. So when you look at your great picture over here, you'll see the cup on the top. That's the ner. Those are neros. That's not the menorah itself, the kanim themselves, that's the stems. Going all the way to the top. After you get to the top, on top of that is a cup. In fact, if you even look at the height doesn't even include the neros, the cups. The height is up to the neros, and then the neros go even above that as well. That's tomorrow's daf. When we get to tomorrow, we'll discuss the height of the menorah.
The temple is they actually have it, these parts are can be disassembled, but here is attached. How long? They would say disassemble to clean it. How do they clean this?
Okay, so I brought it up. I could go on with my issues, but let's focus on the daf. So So there are two parshios in the mezuzah. Open up every mezuzah, and you'll find shman v'haya, right? Ma'akvo zezah. So it needs two parshios. If it doesn't, one out of two is no good. Afilu ksavechad ma'akvan. Even one letter. Okay, so you get your mezuzah checked, and they check every single letter to make sure every single letter is kosher. And yes, we will discuss over the course of this parak how to write letters. Okay, ksav. So afilu ksav echad ma'akva dala parsha shabit tefillah ma'akvan zez that you need four parshios in tefillin afilu ksav echad ma'akvan, and if one letter is missing in any one of the four parshios in your tefillin, that's ma'akev, that's no good. Dala tzitzios ma'akvan zu zez shar basam mitzvah achas. Your four tzitzios, the four strings coming out of your four corner garment, so they're ma'akev. Rabbi Shmuel amar abas amar ba mitzvahs, and Rabbi Shmuel says that the four considered four mitzvahs. We will discuss later what exactly is the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shmuel. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, however, for the remainder of today, it is menorah talk. Okay, my time havaya ksiv behu. So, question number one: what is the reason that we know these things are essential, specifically the kanim, specifically the neros? So, the Gemara's answer is havaya. It says the words havaya. Rashi quotes the pasuk Pashas Truma kaftareim v'kanosam mimenu yihu. So, you have the word havaya yiyah means. This is it. It's essential. Tana Rabbana, we start now with a Braisa. Tosefta. Okay, why is this Tosefta in Chulin? I did not look it up. Menorah ha'isa ba min ha'esh, min ha'eses u min ha'zav. Okay. Your two basic rules regarding a menorah. Number one, has to be made out of a block. And it has to be chiseled out of a block. It cannot be segmented together from fragments and pieces of gold. It's got to come from one mass piece and chiseled out from that. Two, it has to be made out of gold. Now, of those two rules, chiseled out and gold, the chiseled out is a deal breaker. Gold, not a deal breaker. You could use another metal. Asamina grutaot psulot misharmine matchos kshera. The Gemara says exactly that. That grutaot means, Rashi says, pieces. Okay? That is no good. It's puzzle. If it's made out of mine matichos, but if you use instead of gold another metal, that's fine. Maishna min agruta is psul dichsiv. As far as piecing it together, so that the Gemara says, well, that's a pasuk. Miksha v'havaya. The word miksha. Rashi takes the word miksha. It is five lines down. It's after Rashi starts his parish on Gemara. Miksha. Mashma chaticha achas. The word miksha means it has to come from a singular mass. Kid emetargaminan negid mashuch shenimshach hakol mechita achas. Now, how does the word miksha mean that? Miksha mashma davar hamuka v'nealam. Something which was hit, which was banged. The word kashem, Rashi says mukash, to hit or to bang. V'nealam kidechsiva arkavaseh da'lada nakshan. Right, the knees were banging one against the other. One of the dreams in Sefer Daniel. The word miksha means to bang. So it's got to be banged out, literally banged out from a mass piece of gold. And it also says the words havaya, right? Miksha achas. Parshas Truma. You know, the menorah is mentioned twice in Chumash. Parshas Truma, where's the other one? Balosha. Okay. Ve'asisa menorah, I'm in Parshas Truma, Perachaf Hei, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Ve'asisa menorah, Zahav Tahor, make it out of gold. Miksha Te'aseh. Ha'menorah Yirecha, Ve'kana Gviya, Kaftarah, Ferachaha, Mimena Yihyu. Okay. So you see that there's a gold requirement. And there is a miksha requirement, has to be made out of a solid mass. Okay, the Gemara is going to wonder now, it's a simple question, such a basic question. Gold doesn't have to be. It could be made out of other metals. Miksha, that has to be. And the Gemara is going to want to know, what's the difference? Okay, it's a basic question. So the Gemara is, let's start off, Maishna min agurutas psil dichsiv miksha v'havaya. It says miksha, and at the end of the part, at the end of that pasuk, it says, mimena yiyu, havaya. And meanwhile, Sharmine Matros Nami Zahava Havaya. Okay? But it also says gold, and in that very same pasuk it says Yiyu. So how come gold isn't a deal breaker? So Amakra Teasel Rabba Sharmine Matros. Well, right after the word Miksha, it says Teaseh. Okay? And that word Teaseh tells us that it can be made out of others. The aim of the Rabba's Grutos. Gemara says, okay, as long as the word Teaseh as being a ribui, so maybe it could be pieced together as well. Lo sakadacha da'a miksha ksiva havaya. So the Gemara says, well, on the word miksha, you have the word havaya. Teaseh nami amiksha ksiv. So the Gemara says, miksha la'akev. Well, it says miksha twice. It says it once over here, and it says it again in Parshas Ba'aloscha. So the Gemara says, zav and nami la'akev. Okay, but it also says gold twice. Haimai. So the Gemara says, okay, let's do it like this. Iyamar bishlama min agrutos psul mishar min ematchos kshera haynu zav miksha maksha ladrasha. Look, we're going to introduce ourselves in just a moment to a drasha. The drasha will work out beautifully if other metals are acceptable. If other metals are not acceptable, we won't understand the drasha. We didn't see the drasha yet, but when we do get introduced to the drasha, you'll understand. However, Ella Iamar Minagrutos Ksherah Mishar Minematros Ksula Zav Zav Miksha Miksha Maidarashtabe. But if you go the other way, which is gold is essential, but piecing it together, that's not essential, the drasha is not going to work out. Okay, now let's get an introduction to the drasha. What's the drasha? My drasha, Ditanya. Kikar Zahav Tahor Yaseh Osa Es Kol HaKelim HaEila. It has to be made of Kikar Zahav. Kikar is an amount of gold. How much weight is a kikar? Anyone know offhand? I don't.
It's
3,000 shkalim. 3,000
shkalim.
He writes over here approximately 2,400 ounces.
1,500 troy ounces.
1,500 troy ounces.
No, around 1,800.
Okay. How about this? It's big. How about that for a good definition? Kikar zahav tahor yaseh osah is kol hakelim ha'ela. Ba zahav, ba kikar. Look, if you're going to go with gold, so then you need a kikar. Eino ba hazahav, eino ba kikar. But if you're going to use another metal, so it doesn't have to be made out of gold. So you see what the drasha does? The drasha says, If gold, then kikar. If another metal, then it doesn't have to be kikar. Oh, so already you see that the drush is working with the assumption that there's a possibility for other metals. Gviya kaftara pracheha. Now, it says that it has to have gviya kaftara pracheha, flowers, knobs. Right.
Where did the Rasha come from?
Wait just one second. So, ba'zahav ba'gviya kafturim v'prachim ina ba'zahav ina ba'gviim kaftum v'prachim. These decorative ornaments on the menorah, right, the knobs, the flowers, the cups, they're only necessary if you make it out of gold. But if you make it out of another metal, so then you don't need the gviya kaftur v'prachim. Okay, it could be just a simple, straight stick, and that would be fine. The aim anami ba'zahav ba'im kanim in a ba'zahav in a ba'im kanim. So the Gemara says, okay, well, why don't you say like this? If you make it out of gold, so then it requires kanim. And if you don't make it out of gold, it doesn't require kanim, it doesn't require stems. So the Gemara says, already, there's something called a menorah, and there's something not called a menorah. Without the kanim, it's just not a menorah. Hahu pamut mikre. That's just a pamut. Now, I don't know what a pamut is, but it's something less than a menorah. Okay, right. Candlestick. That's okay. V'zeh ma'aseh menorah mikshazav ba'zahav ba'mikshah ino ba'zahav ino ba'mikshah mikshah the seifa l'mayasa. Okay. Now when we go to the next time the Torah brings it up, the menorah. So it says it again. So what is that coming to teach us? Lamute chatzotzros. When you construct the chatzotzros, so here you could piece the chatzotzros together from metals. Now, by the chatzotzros, we start off with the same starting point. It has to be made out of silver. Okay, Torah says silver, not gold. Okay, so the metal of choice by the chatzotzros is silver, and it has to be banged out from one piece. However, here, it's the opposite of the menorah, meaning, if you piece it together with pieces of silver, that's fine. It's not lechatchila, but that's fine. But if I use other metals other than silver, that's a deal breaker. So you see the chatzotzros is the exact opposite of the menorah. So again, we're going to go through the same discussion. Well, how do I know that by chatzotzros that the silver is essential, but the coming from one piece of silver is not essential? And in the pasuk, I have the word havaya. So the Gemara says, "Mi rachman agabe menorah miksha he v'lo chatzotzros." Oh, because by the menorah it says miksha he. This has to be banged out from one piece. Only the menorah has to be banged out from one piece, but not anything else. And that, of course, means a chatzotzros as well. Okay, Tan Rabbanan, kol hakelim sha'asa Moshe k'sherem lo k'sherem l'doros. If Moshe makes a kli, it's good for future generations as well. Chatzotzros k'sher so psulos adaros. However, not the chatzotzros. Chatzotzros made by Moshe are good for him, but not good for future generations. Now, chatzotzros my taima. The Gemara says, why? I don't understand. Why should that be? Elam adam akras say lecha, because by the chatzotzros the Torah starts off with the words of say lecha, lecha v'lol adaros. So the Gemara says, that can't be. Because Elamiata Vasisa Lacha Aron 8:8. By the Aron we have the same Lacha. So you want a darshan. Moshe, you made the Aron. It's only good for you, not for future generations. Hachanami de Lacha Velola Daros, right? That's what you want to say, Lacha, not for Daros. Ella. Ilamandam Lacha Mishacha. Ilam Lamandama Kavyakha Bashacha and he wrote there, Yoser Mishalahem. Now look, as far as the word Lacha is concerned, we have drushas for that. Either it can come out of your own pocket. Either, right, Kadosh Baruch Hu saying to Moshe, look, I'd really prefer if you made it, right? Yours is more ratzui than theirs. We have drushas for the word lecha. So, hainami mi bai le lahachi. So the Gemara says, okay, but if we have drushas for lecha, so the same thing is true by chatzotzros. So we're back to our basic question. Why, when Moshe makes a chatzotzros, can that not be used for future generations? Shani ha'asam damakra lecha lecha tre zimne, asa lecha vayu lecha. So the Gemara gives a simple answer, which is the double lashon of lecha tells us Moshe only for you, not for future generations, are the chatzotzros can be used. Okay. Can I make a menorah out of wood? Not, we're not talking Chanukah now. I'm talking about the menorah. Can I make the menorah out of wood? So we already established that other metals are okay. Gold is what the Torah tells us. Gold is the mitzvah. Other metals are okay. How about wood? Can I make a menorah out of wood? So let's start the discussion right now, and we'll continue tomorrow. Tani Rav Papa b'Rei d'Rav Chanin, Kamei d'Rav Yosef. Rav Papa has a braisa, and he's going to show off the braisa. And the braisa reads like this: Menorah isaba mina esus mina zahav. It has to be made out of one piece, and it has to be made out of gold. Also, shel kesef kshera. If you make it out of silver, okay, it's okay. Shel ba'at. What if you make it out of tin? Shel avram lead v'shel gistaron. Sounds like from Rashi we're talking about some sort of alloy, right? Rashi actually uses the word metal. Metal. Right? How do you say metal in French?
Metal.
Okay, good. Good. So, Vishal Gistaron, right? So, Rebbe Posel, Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda Machshir. So, in this Braisa, these metals are controversial. Machlokis. However, Shel Eitz, Vishal Etzim, Vishal Zechuchis. But if I make the menorah out of wood, or out of bone, or out of glass, divrei hakol psula, according to everybody, it's pasul. In this braisa, wood is out of the question, no good, according to everybody. And tomorrow when we start off, we'll start off with, is this braisa acceptable? Is it reliable? Is there a position in the Gemara that says that the menorah can be made out of wood? If so, the answer is going to be yes. If so, what's the basis of that position? Okay, tomorrow come back, more menorah talk. Okay, learning we do this morning should be for an Ilui Nishmas Rivka Leah by Shimon Zimmel, and for Refuah Shlema for Shmuel Yoel Ben Lifshah Fraser. Amen. Amen.